You're listening to Inside on Capital Public Radio. I'm David Wads Barton. Doug Stanhope was once described in a British newspaper headline as America's most depraved man, and he no doubt took it as a compliment. In his Comedy Central specials, in his stand-up, and on his CDs and DVDs, Stanhope rails against all the stupid, hypocritical, and downright crazy things he sees with no holds barred. He has also managed to insult nearly everyone in the process. He will be holding forth on various topics tonight through Saturday night at the Punchline in Sacramento, and he stopped by the studio to give us a preview. Welcome to Inside.
Good morning.
Hope that's not too much pressure on you, a preview.
No. Just bring in the Febreze, though. That last act stunk. My God, how do you keep a straight face during that? What was that going on in here? No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say something inappropriate.
We were originally going to start with somebody of a political persuasion, and that's getting moved around a little bit. But you've described yourself as a libertarian.
I've actually been described. I do agree with a lot of the libertarian platform, but I think I lean probably more anarchist. Mm-hmm. But I always find out from other people. Before I knew what a libertarian was, people would tell me, "Well, you seem pretty libertarian," and I go, "What's that?" Okay, then I'm that. Now more people think I'm an anarchist, so maybe I'm that. But I'm not occupying anything currently.
I've seen references to you endorsing both Ron Paul and Barack Obama. So that's I'm trying to figure out where that stands.
Ron Paul eventually dropped out, so I had to go to the next worst. Best worst guy, and so yeah, I'm Ron Paul again. But again, I watch it like I watch football. I don't really believe that it affects my life in any way, shape, or fashion. Whoever wants to call themselves president and pretend that they're the leader of everybody could enjoy that. But yeah, my life isn't going to change.
And you, I think, in that we're referring to the last presidential race in 2008. And you also ran for president briefly, right?
For a second. Yeah, then I realized I had no idea what I was doing. I have like 5 good ideas. You know, that's not enough.
Well, you have a new DVD and CD coming out next week, I believe.
Yeah. Digital comes out.
And it's called Before Turning the Gun on Himself. Where'd that title come from?
It's a lot of headlines that I envied. A lot of guys I wish I could be at least a couple times a day. take a few people and then take yourself out too.
Well, let's listen to a little clip from that from them.
We don't have to listen to it.
No, you got to listen to it. You made it.
Turn it down.
This is Doug Stanhope.
AA tells you to make up your own God if you don't already have a God. The big book of AA, I grew up in AA and I believed all this. It was true. My mother was in AA, so as a kid doing homework in the back of meetings, listening to this shit. There's a chapter to the agnostic in the big book, their Bible. And you go, oh, chapter to the agnostic. This will teach you how to use this program as a reasonable grown-up adult human being. No, they don't do that. No, the chapter to the agnostic tells you how to stop being agnostic and start believing in a little bit of God, you stubborn little fella. You gotta believe in it. And it tells you if you don't already have a God, make up your own. And you go, I'm a drunk. I can't even make up a good excuse for why I pissed in the sock drawer last night. This is probably not a good time for me to be creating omnipotent deities.
That's Doug Stanhope from his new CD and DVD out next week. He'll be performing tonight through Saturday at the Punchline in Sacramento. You just shoot wildly. I mean, you were referring earlier to Before He Turns the Gun on Himself. How much of your stuff is really worked out a lot ahead of time? How much of it, because it comes off as a rant.
A CD, you have to, an album, you have to prepare, which I always hate recording because I don't like to be stuck to, here's a script. Comedy should never be like theater. It shouldn't be a play. Mm-hmm. Here's my lines and I deliver. I don't enjoy that. So actually recording something really, really sucks for me. Well, you want to address something that's going on in the crowd or in the back, and that's how my head works. But that's not going to be a good album. It doesn't repeat well.
And is this one show? That's on the album?
On the album, yeah. We tape two, and it's primarily the good one with a few. Yeah, you know, we'll tape two in case I forget to do a line.
Have you ever gone through and just done individual, like picked all your, like record 15 shows and go through and pick up all the best bits?
No, but that's a good idea. Why don't we do that? It would be tough to film that.
Right.
Wear the same outfit all the time, which I don't change my clothes or clean myself up that often anyway.
And you have a lot of different bits on the album. One of them, this one, was about AA. And you mentioned in it that your mom was in AA and then you went to meetings.
Yeah, I grew up. I think she went into AA. I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And then she was in AA for practicing 15 years and then kind of drifted out of it. It was like religion, where you grow up believing utter nonsense and garbage and you don't question it till later on in life. And you look back and you go, wait, yeah, that is absolutely ridiculous. Like church, I won't say it works for some people, but it does. Some people go through it and it doesn't ruin them.
Uh-huh. But did it work for your mom?
No, she died drunk.
Really?
Yeah. I was mixing them. It's a long story. I probably shouldn't get into on the radio. But
But
she was never happier in AA. She was sober up until when she was actually dying, like the last hour. But yeah, just for a notch on the belt. Yeah, she had cocktails right at the very end there.
Really? Okay.
She knew she was dying. What the hell am I staying sober now for?
It sounds like you and she have some personality traits in common. And I'm not referring but just the attitude.
Yeah. She was a miserable, just gutter-mouthed, dark sense of humor, skeptical, but not skeptical enough. That would definitely be where I got my humor from.
Uh-huh. And you started about 20 years ago. What actually started you doing humor as a path?
It was just something I could do. It was big. It was 1990, so it was the end of that comedy boom. I was living in Vegas, and there were open mics at every other bar because comedy was still, that prevalent. And it was something I thought I could do. I was funny, and I couldn't, sing karaoke, and I wasn't particularly good-looking, and I wasn't athletic, so that was my form of plumage to try to, get laid at a bar. I can do that. So, yeah, it was really no different than why someone would sing karaoke. Hey, I can write, 3 minutes of masturbation jokes and go up and amuse a bar full of idiots.
And did you start, as you were in the film, The Aristocrats, which sort of underlines for all eternity how absolutely filthy and how far comics will go for a laugh. And you've gotten pretty far in a lot of areas. Was that what you did from the very start, or have you gotten more emboldened as you've gone along?
It was different topics. When I was 23 years old, I didn't have any kind of worldview. So it was pretty much, straight gutter, smut, sex, more sex. So I was dirty, but it really had no scope.
And now it's much more. I mean, the reason we started off talking about politics in some ways is that in a lot of ways, a lot of your stuff is political, but it's about social issues, maybe then more so much about actual politics.
Not actual politics hardly at all, but there's a social relevance to a lot of it. But I want to write more just plain smut and get back to my roots. I like a good fisting joke as much as anything, and it has no relevance at all. So I try to balance it out. I don't want to be too Bill Maher on anything and mm-hmm. all sorts of full of myself and thinking my opinion counts.
Well, that's already taken anyway, right?
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Doug Stanhope. He's going to be at the Punchline the next 3 nights. You have a new CD and album out, or CD and DVD. When you do a show like tonight and you're doing 3 shows, do you do all new material? Do you do songs?
I will be doing as much different as I'm starting a UK tour in about 9 days for 7 weeks. So I desperately need new material, because what I'll naturally write in a year, maybe half of that at best will work in the UK. So when I go, and I go over there too much. So yeah, I'll be taping every show and then combing through it in the morning, trying to find, all right, will that work in the UK? We'll put that with that. We need a new hour. We were just there 6 months ago. So yeah, I'll be throwing a lot of spaghetti at the wall this weekend.
And England is not someplace that I would think would welcome you with open arms. I mean, it sounds like you spent a lot of time there, but you also have gotten in a lot of trouble over there with
far
people.
Far more.
Haven't you?
What'd you say?
You've gotten in some trouble with insulting the audience.
See,
and
that's
things like
the
that.
Thing. What you would call trouble, I call press. You got into some trouble. I'm a comic. You can't get into trouble. You can't get fired from comedy. There's no, you know, president of comedy going, all right, we're going to suspend your artistic license for 2 months. Like, no, I got press, which sold more tickets. So if you mean money by trouble, yes, I get into
yes,
trouble.
You got lots of trouble. When you go there, when you
pick up litter on the side of the highway for doing retard jokes.
When you go there, what kind of stuff doesn't work in England that would work here?
The smut, like if it's beneath them, you won't get laughs at just basic gutter smut that amuses me. They mm-hmm. think it's easy, and they kind of roll their eyes at that. They want it difficult, and they want to be challenged. They're not, like, American audiences are so easy. After you play over there, you come back and you just want to hug people in the audience because they're already going, woo-hoo, and they're screaming and yelling, which they're kind of, they seem somewhat ignorant, but they're happy to be there. The UK audiences, a lot of times they'll show up and it seems like a lot of them are there to not like you.
Uh-huh.
Like, prove it to me. There's that kind of snottiness about them. Like, I'm not going to be that excited.
And so that's a challenge for you.
Yeah. It's the only thing that keeps me working is my utter fear of them.
And so I guess I should ask the question in reverse. Is when you go over there, do you find yourself working up a lot of material that you can bring back here? Or do you find that the material that you do for an English audience goes over the head of an American audience?
No. It'll work. Believe me, I don't write anything that smart.
Right.
So I'll come back with a lot more stuff than I went over with. In 7 weeks, I'd probably be able to do a new album by the time I get back.
All right. Well, the new one is just not even out yet, so you might want to hold off on that.
March something, 6th.
March 6th, yeah, that's what I... Doug Stanhope, thanks so much for coming
Thank you for having me. And say hi to Diane Rehm for me when you see her. Tell her she sounds like Throw Mama from the Train. It makes me crazy. This is Diane Rehm.
And we'll have links to your website. And also, again, tonight, The Punchline and Friday and Saturday. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. We'll be right back.